The study of history is an adventure in the development of mankind and how the human race has progressed through the centuries. On the other hand, it also reveals how vulnerable mankind is to making the same mistakes over and over again, and how inescapable basic temptations are in every age. Although mankind has reduced the tragic decisions of inflicting enslavement upon the most vulnerable, slavery in one form or another still exists today and continues. It's a tragic story. We don't hear too often of it on the news, but it's alive and well, slavery. This is despite the most advanced society's condemnation upon slavery. It is interesting to note that as much as we, for the most part, abhor the notion of human slavery today, its abolishment in these United States was only around 150 years ago, that close. Tragically, there are some who wish to turn back the clock 150 years now. 150 years, of course, is just a moment in time within the centuries in which slavery has been prevalent in the history of mankind. We may have tried to distance ourselves from such a practice, but let me remind you that we are worshiping in an old barn, which was a part of a plantation which existed during slavery times. Since slaves were an important part of the agricultural economy of the area, and the plantations of this area, they could very well have been slaveries on this farm, slavery on this farm or plantation. And to think, slaves could have worked out of this very barn. When you think about it, it is very ironic that we have reclaimed this building for the purpose of proclaiming the kingdom of God's love. It is a testimony to the fact that even within the practices of denying one another's birthright of being a child of God, there can be restoration and reconciliation, which the good news proclaims. It is a lesson in the reality of God's forgiveness that brings new life, new purpose, and new relationships grounded in love. Now, this is the case in today's epistle lesson. Philemon, is one of those books in the Bible which perhaps we know very little about, since it seems insignificant because of its size. It is the shortest of Paul's letters, being only 25 verses long, and you heard 21 verses of it today. It is a very personal letter. Personal about a very personal issue between two friends. Paul was most likely imprisoned in Rome at the time, and his friend Philemon was one of the leaders in the church of Colossae. Philemon was most likely wealthy, with a very large home that the Colossian church met. Being wealthy, he had servants and slaves, which was a common and acceptable part of the socioeconomic life within that society. We not only see the reference to slavery in Paul's writings, but also by Jesus in the Gospels, even though to own another human being is a practice which is considered to be inhumane and lack any concept of self-worth. But slavery is a product of a human downfall, which fails to acknowledge everyone is an equal in the sight of God. It is the flaw of seeing oneself as all-important and others as pawns to enhance one's own being and stature. Slavery can take many forms under many disguises. And we see this throughout the world. And it is even evident in many ways in our own society today. It seems that one of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, had run away. Perhaps he had come to his wit's end of not having any self-identity or self-worth outside of being a mere object within Philemon's property or just another thing in his estate. Paul goes even so far as to say he had become useless to his owner. Since the church met in Philemon's home, Onesimus must have seen that there was more to life than being a piece of someone's property. He most likely heard that the gospel gives worth to human life, since everyone was a child of God. Here he was listening to this message of the freedom of God's love, yet he could not identify with it, although he yearned to personally experience it. He heard that every child of God had worth and was important. All of this could have been why he ran away. He just had to find his true self. He just had to find the freedom that was taken from his life, or which he never had the opportunity to experience. He had to discover self-worth. So he ran away from his bondage, even though he knew the consequences could go so far as to lose his life. This is evident within our society today. Among those who feel enslaved to economic practices which exclude them. But by his design or God's design, Onesimus ended up being with the imprisoned Paul. He evidently stuck by Paul, serving his needs and becoming a devout believer. The attachment was so great that Paul considered him as his child or son. Paul writes, "I am appearing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment." This relationship between the runaway slave of his friend and himself had placed him in a most awkward position. Paul knew that sooner or later Onesimus would be discovered as a runaway slave. Harboring such a person would surely destroy his relationship with Philemon and the Colossian church. But just to turn him out could spell death to Onesimus. He couldn't just discard him. He was his son. Or at least that's what he had become. It would lead Paul to one of the more difficult decisions he had ever had to make. It was very personal and deep felt, as is quite evident in his letter, which revealed a very emotional, loving, and personal side of Paul, which sometimes we never see. In that letter, he compassionately appealed to Philemon to forgive the runaway slave. He first reminds Philemon of their relationship and how much Paul respects and loves him. It is almost like he is trying to soften him up. When he wrote, "When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from you, from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother." Such words of endearment. With such a build-up, such praise, how could anyone go against any request which Paul could make? Luther calls this holy flattery. It is interesting, there is so much we don't know about this letter, but it gives us insight into Paul. What was Paul's motive for this letter? We do know he was writing it as an appeal to help Philemon forgive his runaway slave. But so much more was involved. Was it because Onesimus was able to live with the guilt of what he did? For evidently he also stole from his master, and Paul knew this. For Paul wrote, "If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account." We do not know whether he had to convince his adopted son to return, or if that was Onesimus' decision. Maybe he was trying to have Philemon forgive his slave and then turn him back over to Paul, for the bond had become so strong between Paul and this runaway slave. For Paul wrote, "I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced." Well, the short of it is that we will never know what happened to Onesimus. We do not know Philemon's decision. Tradition has it that Onesimus eventually became an early church leader, but that is not founded in fact. The important thing is that Paul was calling upon his friend to go beyond society's traditions and laws, and not only forgive Onesimus, but to accept him as a brother in Christ. To Paul, there was no distinction among followers of Christ. Society's restrictions and distinctions and traditions had no relevance in the body of Christ. He wrote to the Galatians, "As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself in Christ, with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ. You know, this is the beauty of the good news of the gospel. Everyone, no matter their station in life or what labels we may place upon them, are the same. Are the same in the oneness of body of Christ. Everyone is a child of God, with the same promise of God's eternal love. Our identity is not determined by society, but by our life in Christ. This identity finds definition in living God's love and forgiveness, and not by the dictates of society around us. It is Christ that sets us free through the power of his love. The good news is that this is for everyone. Everyone. A message that the world needs to hear. God's love and forgiveness is extended to everyone. Amen.